Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We want to talk about Singapore's hospitality industry. It is Travel Thursday, after all. And I think it's fair to say that it's probably one of the hardest hit sectors by COVID-19. You've got these international border closures, lockdown restrictions and whatnot.
Although, actually, we welcomed guests this week from New Zealand, but less than 20 of them. Yeah. And also from Brunei, two of the countries that are allowed to send visitors here at the moment. But I think this is a conversation that will be a bit of a reality check. Some labour experts are saying tens of thousands of jobs might be cut within the next 6 months when we actually feel the full impact of the pandemic.
But then you also have others that are saying that, you know, workers here have been sheltered from the worst economic effects because of the kind of government support that we've received.
That's right. But let's try and get an up close and personal look at the hospitality sector right now on the back of government support. How effective has it been and how employees are being protected during this pandemic?
So joining us this morning on the line is Gino Tan, Vice President of Operations, Pan Pacific Hotels Group. Good morning, Gino. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot, and good morning, Manisha. Top of the morning to both of you.
Hey, top of the morning.
I'm very well.
Top of the morning to you too. I wanted to start off with something that's being widely discussed right now, the topic of foreign help, okay? And this, of course, on the back of those salary criteria for the E-Pass and S-Pass. When you consider the labor market right now, before we get into those intricate details, right, just how much foreign help does the hospitality sector need? Could you give us a sense just to set the mood?
We actually will need to supplement certain roles within the hotel, especially the operational roles, whether it's housekeeping, F&B, some even on front office. The ballpark number would be about 40%, so I think MOM is very spot on in terms of looking at a 60-40 ratio, yeah?
Okay, but the big talking point has been, hasn't it, the criteria for employment passes and S-passes, particularly with the labour market conditions here in Singapore being so weak. How would the impending hike affect the hospitality sector and, of course, those looking for a job?
This is really, to our view, a very necessary step, especially in this very challenging climate where unemployment is high, not only in Singapore, but felt globally with this economic crisis. So I guess from a business perspective in a hospitality industry where manpower resource is key, this will definitely have implications on our future course of business and the pool of available talents. It's further amplified, in my view, that there are misconceptions on job appeal of certain positions among the locals. Additionally, there are also specialized skill sets, right, like culinary, where realistic outlook on the talent pool needs to be adopted. And I think to address this and to answer those questions is that employers really should strive to redesign, rethink job scope to appeal to our Singaporean core. This, of course, will lead to an improved attraction, retention and the support of an overall healthy sector development amidst such tightening employment criteria.
So there's this recent survey by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, and I think it's no secret that our economy is expected to shrink by 7.6% in the third quarter if you compare it to a year ago. So that's a third consecutive quarter of contraction. It's never good news. I actually did want to ask you on how this could potentially affect employees or employers in the hospitality sector, but instead, I mean, how have you guys done 3 quarters of the year? Have you had to unfortunately retrench people or lay off anyone from Pan Pacific Hotels Group?
No, with such business performance that is impacted and affected with all this contraction, with the green lane slowly showing a little bit of a green shoot, we are very fortunate. And of course, lots of thanks to the government for their invaluable support. We are still fortunate to be cash flow positive through both revenue preservation, expense control. And as of today, we have fortunately not reached the point of any layoff within the group yet.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So it is very crucial basically to keep our business afloat and retain our teams. And we are very fortunate because the camaraderie among our colleagues, the management team, the associates, I think the buy-in has been there. We definitely, I think job security is of utmost importance during this period. And hence, the both sides must really work together with a common mindset to ensure the commercial viability and the survival of the business. It's a matter of holding out until the recovery comes, which is definitely going
to
come.
Very positive. And I have to admit, listening to you there and what you've managed to achieve despite the challenges could be a real lesson for others. How have you managed it more specifically?
We have actually done a lot of job skilling. For example, we develop a knowledgeable and strategically adept and flexible, proficient workforce. We took this opportunity to look into job redesign, clustering, providing our workforce with reskilling and upskilling. And of course, we are very thankful for the government, the four budgets, right? The unity, yeah. The resilience, solidarity, and the fortitude. This also includes the job support schemes where we have this COVID-19 enhanced training support package, or what we call ETSP, and as well the job redesign, place and train program. So it's through this that we have managed to continue this viability and to fulfill the talent needs of our colleagues. And ultimately, more importantly, it provides a greater sense of worth and job satisfaction, therefore retention and the loyalty to the company.
Gino, I bet this week, or I think it was last week, you must have been really excited to hear news that you've got these exhibitions and conferences. Basically, the MICE sector can open up to 250 people from the 1st of October. So, I mean, what are you anticipating out of this? And I'm not sure, maybe because you're in the hospitality sector, could you tell us how it's going to work with 250 people?
Yes, we will expect this to help drive the MICE business, especially when MICE business travelers are considered high-yield visitors. But the sentiments may still be cautious. We believe there will be pent-up demand for larger conferences, more of certain sectors like finance, pharmaceutical, technology, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. And of course, in order to have that spillover effect from the major conference organizers, the hotel must definitely adhere to strict measures within in place and the protocol, and is of course subject to MTI's approval for any application as well, right? Mm. And the Pan Pacific Hotels Group, we have what we call the Pan Pacific Cares Program, which has clean stays as our key pillar. For example, we collaborated with Diversity, which is a leader in hygiene and infection prevention. So it is rolled out throughout our hotel as well as our service suite to ensure all the safe protocols of safe distancing that we've gotten so used to. It's all in place. As a matter of fact, we also need to heighten this up with technology.
Oh, yes.
Very true.
We keep talking about the importance of tech, don't we? But earlier you mentioned how beneficial all of these budgets had been, and the government announced an additional $8 billion in economic stimulus in August. I mean, our question here is about whether or not you think it's enough to help, because now we're saying we're going to really see the impact of the pandemic in the latter half of the year. I'm curious about the smaller groups. I think of Pan Pacific and I think, oh yeah, one of the big guys. But what about the smaller groups, that the hoteliers here in Singapore?
I think where possible, we need to kind of enlarge this sail. The sail where the wind comes, when the recovery happens, we can ride on it. Because ultimately, hospitality is still a very, very robust industry. And for the government's help, definitely they've helped us substantially. For the smaller players, I'm really in no position to really comment on my other colleagues. But I think there are a lot of help out there. And all credit given to the Singapore Hotel Association, to STB, who has been constant communication. As a matter of fact, almost on a daily basis, we get updates from them, help support from them. And there are many, many agencies that these smaller players can actually reach out to. I would just name two. For example, COVID-19 enhanced training support, as I have highlighted earlier, and the job redesign, place and train program, which has been invaluable. Because this also provides an absentee payroll where it covers part of our salary for our colleagues while they're on training. And honestly, no government out there has done as much as we have been fortunate enough to reap from this situation.
Yeah, it has been quite remarkable. Something I noticed this morning, Ashley, is some of the Singapore Passion Made Possible adverts are back on TV. I haven't seen those in a while. And also, we know that international visitor arrivals, and some of our listeners might be quite surprised to hear this, they picked up in July. Like you said, these green lanes have opened almost 7,000 visitors, but obviously it's still far off that 1.8 million visitors last year.
That's the reality. But today also we have the travel restrictions being eased between New Zealand and Brunei, these green lanes. What's the mood like right now? I mean, are you anticipating more tourists from these two countries already?
We actually have not seen an immediate impact. And if we just rewind back to last year's tourism arrivals, we have visitor arrivals, international visitor arrivals of 19.1 million. And the bulk of the arrivals, the traditional key market, right, like India, Indonesia, China. Okay. And so we haven't really seen an impact on New Zealand and Brunei. And while we have opened up green lanes for this country, it also needs to be reciprocal on their end, that they need to gain sufficient confidence that Singapore is really safe to travel. as I'm not sure everyone is aware, New Zealand, for example, as of this point, still has travel advisories on traveling here.
Yes. Yeah, they're open, but they're cautious as well.
Exactly. And we are cautiously optimistic that there'll be more green lanes, you know, border-to-border negotiation. And I think the little green shoot that I shared earlier, it should be sprouting up in time to come.
So you know what, Gino? My kids have a holiday from school coming up in October. So what do you think I did? I went online looking for staycations. And you know what? Pan Pacific actually came up at the top of the list, you know, in a lot of the hotel
lists. Thank you.
But I'm curious about whether or not it's making a difference, but, you know, pushing the staycation idea.
After our circuit breaker, there's definitely a pent-up demand among the locals for this. During the first day, for example, when we open up for reservations in our hotels, we'd receive over 200 inquiries come reservations. Our weekend business is doing exceptionally well. Of course, you know, we can do a little bit more for the weekdays. And who do we normally see coming in during the staycation? For the staycation, it's actually young couples and families willing to get out of the house to enjoy the sun and luxuries of the hotels that they've been so familiar with. So beyond that, we also notice that there's a lot more interest in educational and experiential packages. So, for example, in our Park Royal on Beach Road, our specially curated local experiences workshop led by our in-house culinary masters and as well daily basis, complimentary experiences including tea appreciation, cocktail masterclasses, just to name a few. And these have been very popular with our guests.
But you know, Gino, I do need to ask you a question, because anyone who's gone online to look at some staycations, and I'm not just asking about Pan Pacific here, I'm asking in general, because I'm seeing this across hotels in Singapore right now. Some of the prices of staycations are very high. And I'm thinking, in this climate where a lot of people are thinking, you know, under strain in terms of their job security, etc., I'm wondering why those prices are so high.
I think it's a matter of supply and demand. For example, right now, I believe this is a week of two holidays, isn't it? And weekends tend to go up a little bit higher. And of course, let's not be, you know, sidetracked, because a lot of hotels have actually packaged, for example, minimum of two nights stay. If one divides it by two, plus the benefits that comes with it, for example, it includes dining in one of the high-end restaurants, etc. If you break it down, the room rate would be fairly reasonable. But of course, if you were to focus on a Monday to Thursday, for example, then definitely it's definitely going to be a lot more competitive.
Interesting point. Gino, just last question, and really this is just for fun. We have to consider the future of the hotel experience. And I'm wondering, you know, with all these reskilling, retraining, you think we'll see more robots doing room service?
You're not talking about Star Wars, are you?
Yeah, maybe. But is this something we have to prepare for? I mean, the virus is going to be around for a while.
That's a good question.
Well, I think this is really a misconception. We have to realize that, like it or not, it will take a while before one gets, you know, used to having a drone deliver your food, you know, in a restaurant. But I think we need to understand that we are still in a very high-touch industry.
Sure.
We clearly really need to differentiate the leverage of technology versus the conventional definition of robots. For example, we leverage technology to enhance our services and create greater convenience for our guests and also the environment. It also increases our way to service in knowing our guests better. And for example, within the group, and I know a lot of hotel chains are also taking on all the government support and funding to, how we say, in the spirit of capitalizing on the crisis so that we can all emerge stronger. A lot of the hotel companies are actually adopting and accelerating, including us, to move using technology to supplement and complement what a traditional hotel role would be. For example, we have our guest room management system. The moment you check in, the property management system will know and lower the temperature accordingly. For example, when you step out, the motion detector switches off your light. So there's a lot of technology in play here, but it will be so subtle sometimes that one doesn't notice. And we also have e-concierge, for example, in our Park Royal Collection hotels in Marina and, of course, Pickering. Well, guests could always make a request via in-house mobile phones through chatbots, and it's an AI-driven chatbot. You may think that you're speaking to someone, however, it's actually AI, and that frees our manpower to go for a more labor-intensive role within the hotel.
Subtle.
So,
That's the key.
Yes, absolutely.
We've been speaking with Gino Tan, Vice President of Operations, Pan Pacific Hotels Group. Thank you so much for your time this morning, sir. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you for having me. Have a great day ahead.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.